before man heard the tempter's sly voice, long before he made that fateful wrong choice, cast from the garden, a gulf between God and man. Yes, long before there was a world, there was a land. Oh, great Redeemer, with such holy love, choosing that you give yourself to save us, God of the ages, coming the Savior of man. Now we walk in freedom, cannot be taken. We stand in faith, that cannot be shaken. So undeserved, but given a second chance. All because before there was a world, there was a land. Lord, we are humble, that we know your grace. We'll bow forever to give you our praise. For the thorns in your head and the wounds in your nail-scarred hands. And that long before there was a world, there was a lamb. Slain before very foundation of time. Yes, you were, all because of your grace, your love and your mercy divine. Oh, great Redeemer, such holy love, choosing that you give yourself to save us, God of the ages, coming the Savior of man. Now we walk in freedom, cannot be taken. We stand in faith, that cannot be shaken. So undeserved, given a second chance. All because before there was a world, yes, long before there was a world. Thank you, God, before there was a world, there was a land.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, choir. I'm glad that there was a plan, right? Yeah. And because of that plan, actually the whole message this morning, the parable that we're going to have, is about that plan. And so I'm excited about this message this morning, especially after hearing that song. So welcome to 12th Street. Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
It is great to see you out this morning. Fall is here, right? The temperature's falling, the leaves are falling. And isn't it wonderful to live in a place where we get four seasons? Hopefully we just get two really, really short seasons, right? And then we get a really long, nice weather. But it's great to see you out this morning. We have several announcements to go through. So if you could take your bulletin and look at these with me. First of all, we have a business meeting today immediately following the morning service. It shouldn't be too long, but we have a little bit of business to take care of. And then it's time for us to start collecting and thinking about the Operation Christmas Shoebox. And so you can go out in the Welcome Center. There's a table set up there, and you can look at how you can be part in that ministry. Upward basketball registrations are up and online. And coming up in early December, we'll need some help with some people that can evaluate the kids on a Saturday morning. We'll need help from 9 a.m. till noon. And there'll be more information about that, but if you can just run a stopwatch and count to 12. Sorry to make it go above the amount of fingers you have, okay? But if you can get two beyond your fingers, then you are qualified to help. And so keep your ears open for more information about that. We have a sign-up sheet out at the Welcome Center. And I hate to say this, it's time for us to start taking shoveling volunteers. And so what we do is we try not to have the same people all the time on to shovel the sidewalks before the services. So if you'd be willing to help out with that, there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. And then the annual Parade of Lights church trip, it's coming up. It's only 2 weeks away. Going down to Shipshawana, we have a bus that's going, and there's the parade that's there, and then everybody goes out to eat at Das Essen Haus for a buffet-style dinner. If you are driving yourself down there and you're not riding the bus, then all you need to do is get yourself there for the dinner, and then you just pay for yourself at the door, okay? But everybody else that's riding on the bus, make sure you take care of what you need to do with Autumn. And then we have a unique opportunity. We're partnering with Bethany Christian Services. True religion and undefiled before the Lord is to visit the fatherless in their affliction and to take care of the widows, right? Isn't that what the scriptures tell us? Well, one way that we can partner with Bethany Christian Services is to deliver Christmas care packages to some orphans and to some children who are in a foster home or maybe are in the process of getting adopted. And so we need 12 families that are willing to deliver those gifts. It'll be an awesome opportunity for you. You don't have to say much. All you have to do is collect the care gifts and take them to the address that we give you, and you be friendly and loving and kind. And then most of the families have their own children that are natural children. We'll let you know, and if you want to do anything in excess, like maybe get a little gift for the natural children, then you can do that as well on your own if you'd like to. But the whole goal is to just be a blessing to these orphans and help them out during the Christmas time. And so if you'd like to help with that, there is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, and we need 12 families because we'd like to have one family delivering to one family that needs the gifts delivered. Yes?
You don't have to supply all the gifts.
No, you don't supply the gifts. The gifts are supplied by Bethany, okay? But if you want to do something for the natural children, that'll be on your own, okay? But the gifts are provided by Bethany. We're just delivering for them. There's an upside-down banquet that Bethany's having, and this is of no cost. They call it the upside-down banquet because Jesus told, in a parable, he said, go into the highways and byways and compel them to come to my dinner, okay? And so here's the thing. If you want to go and just hear about what Bethany's doing and get a free dinner, they want to bless you, all right? Not looking to raise money. Most times you go to those dinners, right, they hit you up for money. That's not the goal of this dinner. It's just to be a blessing to you. So if you'd like to go, that's on November 2nd, and the information's in the bulletin. And if you'd like to do that, make sure that you let the church office know so we can get you a table there. And then we're having a special Christmas series coming up. It's going to be a three-week-long series, December 10th, 17th, and 24th. And I need some awkward family photos, okay? Maybe you all dressed up. I got a great one from the Dieters, all right? I'm really looking forward to letting everybody see that one in their striped pajamas on Christmas. All right. So if you have any awkward, or maybe you have a picture of you and your family from like the 1970s, any photo from the 70s will be perfect for this, okay? Maybe even the 80s. So if you could get those pictures in, send them to the church email address or give them to Cheryl in the church office because we are putting all of that together right now. There are some more announcements in your bulletin. Make sure that you read those. I have a couple other ones that I'd like to just announce real quick. Part of the Christmas series that we're doing, we need some people to give a testimony, but you don't say anything. It's called a cardboard testimony. And so if you would like to take part in that, you need to see Angie Layton, and she is she's the one that's Jan in the skits that we have, you know, the bubbly, outgoing, ditzy one. Not the guy one there, but and so make sure that you see Angie, and she'll help you with that. We need those to be completely thought out and put together, your testimony to Angie by December 3rd. And we'd love to have several people involved with this. It's real simple. You don't have to speak, but your testimony can be shared in a really cool way to help bless everybody in the church. And then I have a note here from Ruth Bradner and her family. And it says, I want to thank you for your encouragement and prayers and the church family on behalf of my brother, Bob, going home to be with our Lord and having the insurance that I will see him again one day. And so keep praying for Ruth and for her family. It's always hard to lose a loved one. And then let's be in prayer for Wes Kolb. I don't know how many of you know, but he had a stroke last week. And he had surgery, and they believe that they've got everything cleared up. They think that he'll have a full recovery. He's not fully recovered yet, but they believe he will have a full recovery. So just be in prayer for Wes as well. And I got to give two words of thanks. First of all, to the Balcomas, the teens want to say thank you for hosting them last night. They had a great time, so thank you for that. And then thank you to everybody who helped with Trunk or Treat, okay? If you helped with Trunk or Treat, if you brought a car, you helped with food or whatever, thank you very much. Here's what we had that night. We had 354 people who registered, and I'm sure we had several people that didn't register. And the registrations only include those with children. So those who didn't have young children, they didn't register, and there are a lot of grandmas and grandpas there. And there are a lot of others who didn't register. So we had 354 people that registered, 203 children that registered, and we had 25 of our teens come and run the games. And the concession stand, they made a profit of $335 in an hour and a half. So they were busy making a lot of food. But I want to say thank you to everybody that made that night a good night. Appreciate you. All right, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. And as a church, we have a lot going on, and I thank you for that. I thank you that we can be busy serving you by serving others. I thank you that when we give a cup of cold water to the least of these in the name of Jesus, that we do it for you. And so, Lord, all of these things that we do, Lord, we don't want to receive glory ourselves. We want all the honor and glory to go to you. And I thank you this morning that as we talk about your plan, what an awesome plan it is. It's not anything that humans would have dreamt up. It's not anything really that any other entity than God, our holy God himself, could imagine to make a way for each one of us to have eternal life. And so, Lord, as we study your word this morning, I pray that your message, because it's your parable that you shared, that it would be rich in our hearts. And then, Lord, as we sing praises to you, I just ask, Lord, that you would be honored, not only by the words that we sing and by the notes that are played, but, Lord, you would be honored by the heart in which we deliver the message through song this morning. So, Lord, to you, the only wise God, we ask that you send your spirit in a special way to each one of our hearts, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, my wife wanted me to make one correction to the announcement about the Essen House. If you're going to go to the Essen House and eat with the group, you need to sign up because we got to make a reservation. So if you're not going to eat with a group, you can go down on your own, do whatever you want to, but she needs to know if you're going with us. So let's remain standing. We're going to open this morning with Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing. Everyone sing. Joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing. Everyone sing.
Name the other.
Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, that all the world will praise Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, that all the world will praise your great name. Your great come, your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we just pray that in our lives, the riches of your love would always be enough for us, that your embrace would mean more to us than anything else in this world. And Father, we just want to pray now as the pastor's coming that you'd just pour your spirit out on him. Father, just give him a special portion of your grace this morning as he comes to lead us and teach us from your word. Father, I just pray that our hearts are prepared for the message that you have for us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Will the ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have to give back a portion of what you've given to us. Father, we just ask that you'll just use this offering in a special way to further your ministry, Lord, to be able to reach the community with your gospel. Father, we just ask that you just be with us this morning as Pastor brings forth the message and that we'll be able to gain some truth, Lord, and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once I was a stranger, worthless and alone, had no hope for living, nothing good of my own. But then I heard the story, whosoever will may call on the Savior. He says just over hill, bought by the blood, precious in his sight, heir to the kingdom, walking in the light, bought by the blood, God's son, my closest kin, my life's eternal, I've been born again. Don't you waste a moment living in despair. He can feel all your heartache, every burden that you bear. The door is always open to the heart of the King. Just accept your salvation and you can shout and sing. Bought by the blood, precious in his sight, heir to the kingdom, walking in the light. Bought by the blood, God's son, my closest kin, my life's eternal, I've been born again. Don't you...
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Brenda. And that song there that Don just sang, if you haven't been born again, that's God's desire for you today. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church, and let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. There was an engineering student who just graduated with their master's degree, and it applied at many places and sat down for their very first interview. And right away, the new graduate looked at the interviewer and said, "I expect to make $125,000 right off the bat." And the interviewer looked at the newly graduated engineer and said, "Okay, we'll throw in 14 weeks of vacation. How about 15 paid holidays? A 50% salary match to your retirement fund. and a new leased car every 2 years. And let's start this year with a red Corvette. Wow, said the new engineer. Are you kidding me? Yes, said the interviewer, but you started it. Mark chapter 12 and verse 1. Let me set the scene for what's been taking place. Jesus has been teaching his disciples. He says back in chapter 10 in Mark, he says, we're going into Jerusalem. They will lay hands on me. They will arrest me. And they will crucify me. So then the disciples and Jesus spend the next several hours in discussion about who the greatest in the kingdom will be. Because the disciples are like, oh, when we get there, can I sit on your right hand? And Jesus is like, what? I just said when we go into Jerusalem, they're going to kill me. But all they could think is when we go into Jerusalem, you will be made a king. So then Jesus has a dispute with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are fair, you see, because they think they're better than everybody else because of the way that they interpret the law and manipulate the law. Jesus has a dispute with them because they say that they question his authority. They say, where does your authority come from? And so Jesus, as he shares this parable, it's on the heels of these discussions with his disciples and with the Pharisees. And so here's what Jesus says in Mark chapter 12 and verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. Remember, a parable is an earthly story that teaches us a heavenly or spiritual concept. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and lent it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. So this man owned a big piece of property. He built walls around the property. Inside, he dug a place for a wine press. So with this wine press, they would gather grapes, because it's a vineyard. They would put them in the wine press, and there's a huge thing called a millstone. And it rolls in this trench, and he dug a trench, and he would have cemented that trench. And then they would roll that millstone around on top of the grapes, and it would smash the grapes. They would collect, it would flow into a vat, and they would collect all of that juice, and they would make wine, they would make fresh grape juice, and it was a very profitable and essential part of living in the Middle East. And so in this parable, the master, the one who owns the property, he leases it out to them. Now, the lease agreement was when they harvest, they are supposed to give him the profits. They're living there. They're working. So they have shelter, they have food, and they have a job. And they are supposed to just give him according to the lease agreement. So now let's look at verse 2. And at the season, he sent to the husbandmen, the farmers, the people he leased out this vineyard to, he sent them a servant that he might receive from them of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again, he sent another, and him they killed. And many others, beating some and killing some. Having at therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. And the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and they killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Let's pray together. Lord God, give us understanding of this parable. I pray that it would help us in our faith and help us in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this parable is a history lesson. That's the first blank in your bulletins there. This parable is a history lesson. This man leases out his vineyard, and they obviously decide that they agree to the terms because they are farming the vineyard. When it comes time for them to pay up, instead of paying up, they decide we want to keep this for ourselves. And so the first messenger that comes, they beat him. They're sending a message back to the man who owns the vineyard. They just beat him and they send him back empty. So then he sends another servant. This servant, they take stones and they throw it at him and they hit him in the head with stones. I don't know if you've ever been hit by anything in the head. I played baseball in high school and I was a catcher. And I was catching in the gym because it was in Michigan, and you know how our weather is here. And it was too cold and too rainy to go outside, too snowy. So I was catching in the gym, and the rest of the team had to run wind sprints. But because I was catching, I didn't have to run wind sprints. I was catching one of the pitchers. And so I took my mask off, and I looked over, and I started laughing at the guys as they were running. I still had my mask off. I turned back, and the pitcher threw a pitch. And it hit me right here in the nose. The only strike that guy ever threw. And he quit the next day, which really ticked me off. But split my nose open, broke my nose, blood everywhere. Tell you what, to get hit in the head with something is one of the worst areas to be hit. And they sent that servant home shamed. So he sends more messengers, and the farmers, they decide, you know what, the landlord's not getting the message. So they start to kill the messengers. Finally, the landlord's had enough. He says, I'll send them my son. This time they know I mean business. They'll respect my son. I mean, I gave them that place to live and to work. They'll respect my son. When the son showed up to receive from the increase, from the harvest, they said, look, it's his son. If we kill him, there's no one to inherit this but us. And so they killed his son and just threw his body outside of the vineyard. And Jesus asked the question, what will the Lord of the harvest, the one who owns the property, what will he do? Now, as he shares this parable in other as the other gospels record it, the disciples answer. But here, Jesus just answers himself, and he says, he will go and destroy those unfaithful servants, and he will give that property to another. Now, there's a huge spiritual significance here. Jesus is telling Israel, if you mistreat me, the Son, what God has given to you to steward will be taken away from you and given to somebody else. There's a message here, a strong message. Do you think they understand it? No. They hear the story and they're like, oh, that's a sad story. Maybe a couple of them pulled out some hankies and, you know, cried a little bit. But this parable is a history lesson. Israel would lose the responsibility of taking care of God's message because they kill his messengers and will kill his son. Now, Jesus hasn't died yet. He's still in his earthly ministry. So there's a little bit of history and there's a little bit of prophecy in this parable. What's really sad about this parable is the truth that's in it. You see, God sent to the kingdom of Israel many prophets. You know what they did to those prophets? They beat some of them. You read in Ezekiel. Ezekiel tells the king the truth. And a man standing by punches Ezekiel in the face and says, "How can you speak to the king like that?" Well, he was just speaking God's word. And the king was rejecting the truth. Jeremiah is lowered down into a pit of mire, human feces up to his shoulders. And they drop down to him to eat the moldy bread. All because Jeremiah told them the truth of God's word. And then Isaiah. They hated his message so much, they sawed Isaiah in half. Not the easy way, not this way. They did it lengthwise. Why? Because they did not want to give to God what God was demanding. God made them his chosen nation. He gave them the stewardship, just like in this parable, the one who owned the vineyard gave the farmers stewardship over the vineyard. Jesus, or God, gave Israel stewardship of his name. And they took his name and blasphemed it. And when he sent messengers to them to straighten them out, they beat them and killed them. Jesus is simply sharing a history lesson through this parable. And now, as Jesus shares this parable, he is the Son of God. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." His well-beloved Son. Jesus came into the world. He came to offer Israel a chance to be led by the King of Kings. To halt in their blasphemy of the name of God and start to proclaim rightly the name of God by following Jesus Christ. But Jesus knew his message would not be received. And so in this parable, he shares some prophecy and he's letting them know, "You are going to kill me because I'm the Son. And what do you think is going to happen when you kill me?" God the Father will take the kingdom away from you and give it to another. Now, we can look back in history and we can see how all of this has been played out. Jesus was crucified. They took him, and even though he came and healed their sick, raised their dead, fed them when they were hungry, they killed him. They killed him because they were not willing to receive the inheritance of the kingdom the way that God wanted to offer it. But Jesus knew he would be killed. Because of sin that's in this world, someone, something had to be done for the sins of this world. And so when God sent his Son, God sent his Son knowing that his Son would be the object of sacrifice so that we could be forgiven from our sin. So when Jesus died, it wasn't just mankind in their cruelty and in their humanity killing the Son of God. It was Jesus offering up his life as a sacrifice to stand in the place of each one of us for our sin. And that's why the end of this parable, Jesus shares in verse 10, he says, "And have you not read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." See, if Jesus had not died, he could not become the cornerstone of our faith. In order for them back then to have a cornerstone, what they would do is they had several rocks that they would find to use for building. And the cornerstone was usually this massive, huge rock. It was one that they could rest the weight of the building on, that could be the foundation for the rest of the building. And so the way that they would choose the cornerstone, usually, was they would go up higher into the mountainside, and they would chip away rock. And they would find huge stone or carve out huge stone. And they would roll that stone down the mountainside until they got it to the place where they were building the building. The builders would look at the stones that came down, the huge mammoth rocks that came down, and find the perfect one to be the cornerstone. And if a rock came down and they didn't choose it, it didn't mean it wouldn't be part of the building. It's just that the builders would refuse it as the cornerstone. So here's what happened. Jesus came to this earth. The builders are the religious rulers of that time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Remember, they're sad because they don't believe in a resurrection. Last week, we talked about the Herodians, okay, those who follow the teachings of Herod. A lot like the Pharisees, a lot like the Sadducees, but very politically connected. And all of them were the builders. The builders, when they were presented with the cornerstone, they rejected the cornerstone. So here's what God started to do. God started to build on the cornerstone his kingdom of faith, but it wasn't in the same line as what the builders were trying to build. The builders rejected the cornerstone. And in doing so, they had nothing of substance that they were building their faith on. Their faith was built on their own ideas or on their own religiousness or their own goodness. Whereas the faith that God was building was on the cornerstone of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So let's look here in your bulletin. I have a few things here for you to look at. Let's do this blank here. Jesus, although rejected, is the chief cornerstone of faith. Although he was rejected, you know, in Isaiah it says that he was the man of sorrows, rejected, despised of men, lightly esteemed. And although he was rejected by man, the builders, he became the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone of faith. So let me just real quickly ask you personally in your life, because some of you, you're sitting out there and you're going, well, I've already trusted Jesus as my Savior. Yep, it's all good. I got this one down. All right, so everybody take a gold star and put it on your, yes, all right, good job. But let me ask you, as someone who's built your life on the cornerstone of faith of Jesus Christ, are you a good steward of what God has given you, or are you a poor steward of what God has given you? Are you pleasing God with the vineyard of your life, or are you doing it your own way, rejecting the messages that he sends to you, rejecting the prophets, the preachers, rejecting the teachers, rejecting the truth that he gives to you? I'm going to give you just three quick applications for this. First of all, do you give the Lord 10% of what you bring home? You go, well, why is that a big deal? I mean, who cares about that? Well, in Malachi chapter 3, as it describes the stewardship of Israel, and in Malachi it deals with the spiritual stewardship, but it also deals with the physical stewardship. In Malachi 3, the Lord says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Tithes are tenths. You see, if you're a Christian and your life is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, there's one thing that should be sure in your life. You know that God wants to use the finances that he enables you to make, and he asks for a tenth for it to be given for his purposes. You ever wonder how do we survive as a church? You know, you just pass the offering plate around. You know, it's not like a movie theater where, you know, we expect everybody to drop in 10 bucks, you know. It's not like that. We have real expenses because we're in a real building, right? Praise the Lord, we had heat this morning, you know. Real expenses. 60% of what we have as a church, what we bring in as a church, keeps the lights on, keeps the insurance paid, keeps us afloat with the payments on the building. And so there's a big amount of responsibility right there just for the building. And then we use money for missions. We use money for ministries. You pay me. I'm really thankful when you do that. Really thankful. You know, there are real expenses. How do they get done? How does God take care of his work? The awesome thing is God says, hey, I'm going to leave it up to you. He requests, commands, says that if you don't give it, you're robbing him 10%. But you know what else the Bible says? When you give, it needs to be cheerful. Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And if you feel like you have to give out of necessity or you're being compelled to give, you know what? Keep your money in your pocket. God doesn't need that kind of a gift. Now, as a pastor, I'm going, oh, maybe we want that kind of gift. But really, honestly, God doesn't need that kind of a gift. Because God reads your heart in the giving. And so as a steward, think of yourself as one of the farmers in the vineyard. God has entrusted with you whatever you make. Whether you do it before taxes, after taxes, that's all between you and God. Do it cheerfully. If you can't do it before taxes cheerfully, then don't do it before taxes cheerfully. If you can't do it after taxes cheerfully, you got to fix an attitude somewhere, but don't do it after taxes cheerfully. God loves a cheerful gift. You're not compelled to do this. You are blessed to do this. And I find that God takes my 90% or whatever's left and it multiplies it far beyond my 100% could ever have purchased. And you say, well, how do I know that'll be true in my life? I guess you'll never know until you try. Are you a good steward with what you bring home? Secondly, what service do you do for God? I mean, here's a sad reality. Most of the service that we do in our life is for ourselves. Most of what we do is so that we can bring home paychecks and so we can make sure that our families have a good life. And you know what? It's wonderful to provide a good life for your family. But what are you doing in service for God? Those farmers in the vineyard, they didn't want to give because they wanted an inheritance for themselves. And I wonder how much of our time is spent with us just living for ourselves and not caring about the bigger picture of God's kingdom. We don't live with the fact on our mind that we are laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. And so what are the services, the efforts that you put in making sure that you do a work for God? And then number three, is the sacrifice of Jesus marvelous to you? Is it marvelous to you? No, there's a song that says, tell me the old story, write on my heart every word. And it talks about, tell me the story of Jesus. It's the sweetest that ever was heard. You know what, though? We hear this story all the time, and maybe it's become commonplace to you. Maybe it's become tired and old. And I want to encourage you this morning that every time you hear the story of Jesus, it should be fresh and vibrant in your life. The sweetest that's ever been heard. It needs to be marvelous to you. Jesus is our cornerstone. He's the foundation for our faith. I want to illustrate this to you, so I'm going to need a little bit of help. So Ella, could you help me for a second? And what's your son's name right there? Yeah. What? Yeah, Wendell, come here. And Cadence, come on up here. All right. These are the cornerstone, okay? And I want you guys to listen very carefully because I'm going to give some very specific instructions, and I'm going to need your help, and you're going to have to all work together. So come on over here next to Ella. You're all going to have to work together. And Matt, could you come here and help me out? All right. Matt, you're the decision maker in this whole thing, okay? You're every single one of us, okay? And I've got this ladder here. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to climb up to not the very top, because it says don't step above this. So I'm going to ask you to step up here to the top. And I've got this platform here. All right, here, can you guys take this? And they're going to hold it up above their head, and you're going to stand from here, and you're going to step out onto that platform while they hold it up. Okay? But wait. I'm going to give you an option. All right, I'm going to give you an option. Joel Camp, can you come here and help me? Tim Bosker, can you help me? Todd, can you come on up here and help me? All right. You can choose a foundation. Okay? You could choose your foundation for who's going to hold you. All right? You could choose them, or you can choose these guys. All right? Can you guys put that up above your head real quick so Matt can... Oh, yeah. All right, Matt. You want to come up there, Matt, and step out on? No? You're not going to do it? All right. You guys can put that down. All right. Good job. I won't make you step out with these guys either. But the obvious choice is to go with these guys, right? Why? They're big and strong. All right, think about this with me. We are asked to have faith. And we are presented with many options of faith. And there's some faith that's wobbly at best. There's some faith that seems a lot more secure. But I'm going to give you one more option, Matt. Can I see this? And instead of having those guys take it and hold it up in the air, how about if I just put it on the foundation that's right there? So, Matt, I'm going to give you the option. You can choose there or one of these two. But here's what happens, folks. This is the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's solid, it's sure, it's true, it's real, and it will never, ever let you down. And it seems like all the time I meet people who are putting their foundation, they'll say, I'll hope that these people can carry me. I hope that their truth can hold me up. There are people that trust that Joseph Smith is going to get them somewhere with God. There are people that are trusting that a pope will get there somewhere with God. There are people that are trusting that Ellen White will get them somewhere with God. And there are people that are trusting that a church will get them somewhere with God. And all of those things are built on human. And sure, they may seem like they can hold you for a while, but eventually they'll let you down. But there is a foundation, only one in Scripture that's listed, that is sure and true and that will never let you down, that will hold you up for the rest of your life and will give you the opportunity to build forever, and that's the foundation of Jesus Christ. So I'm challenging you this morning. Challenge your thinking. Where are you putting your faith? Where are you putting your trust? Is it in the chief cornerstone? Or are you one of those kind of builders who, as you build your life, you reject? And you know what? It's impossible to hold yourself up. If you are your own foundation, you will be the first to crumble. Let's pray here together. Thank you. Lord God, I just, I pray as we close out this service that these truths would be in our hearts and minds. I pray that we would be challenged by the laborers in the vineyard, Lord. that we would not reject Jesus. And Lord, those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would be good stewards of what you give to us and what you allow of us. And Lord, I pray for anyone here who's never put their faith and trust in Jesus, this morning you are offering to them the chief cornerstone, the most reliable and true. You're not just an object, you're the person who gives faith. And Lord, I pray if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ that this morning, that they would put their faith and trust in you, knowing that as the chief cornerstone, you will carry them through for the rest of their life. And Lord, for those who have trusted you, we should have great joy this morning, knowing that you never let us down, you never drop us, you never will lose your strength to hold us, because you are the tried stone that's true. So Lord, encourage our hearts with these words this morning. And as we sing the song about Jesus being our cornerstone, I thank you that we can sing this with great enthusiasm and fervor, because you are the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the true of true. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together and we're going to sing the song Cornerstone. If you've never trusted Christ but you would like to, I'll be standing here at the front. I'd love to talk to you or introduce you to someone to talk to. And let's just sing out to our Lord.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, He's Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Found. dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne.
We all face those storms in life, don't we? Where do you want to stand when you're in the storm? Where do you want your foundation to be? Praise the Lord that he gives us a firm foundation, a solid rock. And when we are on him, we will never be moved. Lord God, to you be all the glory because you are so good. And you are God above all gods. And Jesus, your name is above all names. And at that name of Jesus this morning, we bow. We cling to you, knowing that you are the sure foundation of life. You bring security. You bring salvation. And Lord, in you we trust. So now unto him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be glory and honor and power both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. We'll begin our meeting in 5 minutes. Have a wonderful week.